Well, we are officially into the Christmas season. This past Sunday, December the 1st, was the first Sunday of Advent, if that means anything to you. I know, depending on where you worship, that's a big deal, or some of you may not have even heard about Advent and what it's about. But the stores have been trying to get us ready for this time since about September. Getting Christmas decorations out and playing Christmas music in the early November, and of course Santa's making his rounds, and he's making a list and checking it twice. And I'm not a Santa kind of guy. I start to look a little more like him, but I guess when our kids, the first couple kids, were real small, we did the Santa thing, and had a guy that came to the house one time that did Santa and all, but we got out of that. And you know, do kids really believe that if they behave for the 6-8 weeks, maybe before Christmas, that it's really going to make a difference? That, you know, I mean, if Santa sees you all the time, you know, he knew what you were doing back in March and July and all, not just what you've been doing since the beginning of November. So, you know, but I guess I probably believed it. I don't remember a time that I believed in Santa Claus, but I'm sure I probably did when I was little, like most little kids were told that. But, you know, now they have a new way of trying to make kids behave with this elf on the shelf thing. Personally, I think it's kind of creepy, okay? The radio announcer yesterday was talking about how they have it, and they have the elf, and they have, I don't know, some kind of Christmas angel or whatever, and how they watch over you, and I'm thinking, nah, I don't think so. I know there was a thing on The Last Man Standing about the elf on the shelf, and they had hooked up a camera to it, so the elf was actually watching you. But it was kind of a different thing. But how about teaching our kids and our grandkids to behave all the time, not to get anything out of it, but just because that's the right thing to do? That you know, treat people right, you know, because that's the way you want to be treated. And so that's just the right thing to do, not just, you know, I got to be good, you know, quit beating up my sister or my brother or whatever, because, you know, Santa's going to see that and I won't get any gifts. But, you know, how about teaching them you don't beat up your brother or sister, because that's just not the right thing to do. So, you know, as believers, I think that's where we need to be starting with our kids and our grandkids. And, you know, maybe we won't have some of the problems that we have in our society today if we teach that, you know, be good because you should just be good, not because you're going to get anything out of it. But let's begin with a prayer. Father, we give you thanks for this time of year, and Lord, how it helps us to prepare to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your Son. And so, Father, help us to be getting ready for the season as we should as believers. You know, to not be as concerned about the presents and the decorations and the food, but be more concerned about the people. People that we know and love, and people that we don't know that we can help out in some way. So, Lord, as we look at your word today, let us see the message that you have for us. Maybe sometimes we do things that we don't really feel like doing, but we know that's what we should do. And so we go ahead and we reach out. So, Father, just open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I heard a really good message the other day concerning obedience, and so I'm not stealing that message. I'm not even going in the same direction as that pastor did. I'm going to go the Christmas direction. And I'm going to start in what I think, anyways, is an obvious place, and that's with Mary. So let's go to Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to read a very familiar passage for you. I'll read it in the Passion Translation, so it's maybe a little different than how you've heard it in the past. But this is what Luke has to tell us. During the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God's presence to an unmarried girl named Mary, living in Nazareth, a village in Galilee. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, a true descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Grace to you, young woman, for the Lord is with you, and you are anointed with great favor." Mary was deeply troubled over the words of the angel and bewildered over what this may mean for her. But the angel reassured her, saying, "Do not yield to your fear, Mary, for the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. You will become pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will enthrone him as king of his ancestors on his ancestors David's throne. He will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit." Mary said, "But how could this happen? I'm still a virgin." Gabriel answered, "The Spirit of holiness will fall upon you, and the Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your aged aunt Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son. The barren one is now in her sixth month. Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary responded, saying, "This is amazing. I will be the mother for the Lord. As his servant, I will accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass." And the angel left her. Well, I want to take this apart. And so let's start with looking at Gabriel. Well, Gabriel had to think, you know, that went pretty well. You know, I wasn't sure just how Mary was going to react, but, you know, that went pretty well. Because Gabriel, as far as we know, had not had a lot of interaction with humans. and so, you know, maybe he wasn't real tactful in the way that he presented this to Mary. And the only other time that we hear of a Gabriel is in Daniel chapters 8 and 9, and it could quite possibly be the same Gabriel. There's other times that angels appear and or speak to people, but they're not given a name. And so, you know, we don't know. I mean, maybe every time an angel gets sent to speak to somebody, it's Gabriel, and whoever authored that book just didn't have a name for him. I don't know. So now let's move to Mary. Verse 27 says that she's a girl and a virgin. We don't know her age, but I want you to have an open mind as you listen to this, because this is a very different culture than what most of us live in. And it's a different time. You know, this is 2,000 years ago. And so Mary was probably between 12 and 16. Okay, I know, you know, that's really not acceptable to us. But that's how things were done. And if she was 16, she was almost considered an old maid, because many girls were betrothed at the age of 12. So, I mean, this she wasn't married at this point. You know, she was, like it says, she was engaged. Some translations say that she was betrothed. And let me try to make this sound a little more acceptable to us in our line of thinking, okay? Biblical betrothal is a covenant, okay, not a blood covenant, but is a covenant relationship between a man and a woman that follows courting and precedes marriage. During this time, the man is referred to as husband and the woman is referred to as the wife. Okay, so they're not married, but it's more than what we think of now as an engagement. Okay, it's a time of courtship, a time of getting to know each other. But it's something that is very binding. Okay, it says it's a covenant relationship, and so it's going to be binding in the minds of everybody involved. So hopefully that makes it a little more understandable. But now you need to, when we're talking about Mary and everything that happens with her here, remember that Luke is the one that's written this. And it's believed that Luke got a lot of the information for his gospel from Mary. And so, you know, this is kind of Mary's side of the story almost. All right. So when Mary was confronted with Gabriel, she could have said, I really don't think this sounds like a good idea to me. You know, I mean, you know, here I'm only, let's say, 14 years old, you know, kind of put her in the middle of that age bracket. And, you know, I don't really don't think that I'm ready to be the mother of the savior of the world here. Or she could have said, you know, can I think this over and, you know, you come back in a couple of days and, you know, and I'll get back to you on this. So, you know, it just sounds kind of really overwhelming. Now, there was maybe a lot more to the conversation between Gabriel and Mary than what Luke has written. Okay. You know, probably Luke, if he got the whole story from Mary, he probably just said, you know, well, let's just get the highlights here. You know, we don't need a word-for-word conversation that went on. So there was maybe more to it than this. But now, Mary had a lot going on in her life already. Okay, she was going to be getting married, you know, which was a big deal. You know, her whole life was about ready to change anyways. And she was going to be leaving home, leaving her family. You know, maybe still staying in Nazareth. You know, we're sure that that's where Joseph was from also. And so, you know, people didn't get married and move far away at that time. And she knew that, you know, she's going to be getting married pretty soon, that means that she's going to be becoming a mother before too long anyways. But then along comes Gabriel telling her, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Well, verse 29 explains it really well because it says Mary was deeply troubled over the words of the angel. Okay. Some translations say that she was confused and disturbed. The message says that she was thoroughly shaken. And I can imagine, you know, that all of those descriptions fit very well to how Mary felt at that time. You know, I would think that just Gabriel showing up, you know, without having spoken a word, that she would have been confused, shaken, troubled, and disturbed. And then Gabriel goes on and says, don't be afraid. Well, you know, Gabriel, that's easy for you to say. You know, here I am just minding my own business, and all of a sudden, poof, you know, there's this angel that's showed up. So in verses 31 to 33, he really shakes things up. He says, you're going to conceive, you're going to have a son, and here's which is to name this son. He's going to be the Son of God. He's going to sit on David's throne. He's going to rule over Israel, and he's going to have an unending kingdom. Now, that would be a lot for anyone to hear, but, you know, for a, let's say, 14-year-old girl to hear. Now, I'm sure that, you know, she was probably pretty mature, you know, knowing what was going to be happening in her life. But she's still trying to reconcile with this, you know, I'm getting married thing. And so Mary thinks that she has an out in verse 34. She says, well, how can this happen? I'm a virgin. Okay, she's thinking, you know, I don't have to worry about that. But Gabriel has the answer in verse 35. He says, hey, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of that. Okay, the Holy Spirit is going to come. Now, that wasn't a real hot topic with the Jews, but apparently Mary was okay with that, to hear that, you know, the Holy Spirit was going to come and that's how she was going to conceive, you know. But in verse 36, Gabriel's trying to convince Mary that this was all really legit, because he says that, you know, Elizabeth, the barren one, your cousin or relative of some kind, that she's pregnant. And, you know, that's somebody that Mary knew, somebody that Mary was familiar with. And so we don't know what the relationship there was or how close that relationship was, but he knew that Mary knew Elizabeth and knew that she had no children, and, you know, that she was looked down upon because of that. Because if a woman couldn't have a child, you know, she was called the barren one. You know, she was kind of laughed at. And, you know, as we know now, that it's not always a woman's fault, that it could be the man's fault as well. But, of course, in that culture, that ain't going to happen. So in verse 37, Gabriel gives the words that make it all make sense. Because in the King James, he says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. The New Living Translation says, for the word of God will never fail. So Mary lets Gabriel know that, you know, okay, this is it. Let's do this. Because she says, you know, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. And that's what it tells us in the Message. And, excuse me, that's in the New Living. And in the Message it says, you know, I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then Gabriel leaves. Okay, so Gabriel, you know, he's come. He's presented his message that he has to. And so now it's time for him to get out. So I'm just trying to imagine Mary in this. You know, she's a young woman, a young girl, teenager, and all of a sudden this angel comes with big news, and she says, okay, let's go ahead. Now, I don't know any girls around Mary's age. The closest I have is a 13-year-old grandson, and I know he loves the Lord and all, but I can't imagine, you know, if some angel appeared to him and said, you know, this is what I want you to do or where I want you to go or whatever. And you know, Parker said, oh, okay, sure. You know, I don't know. But Mary, we have to look at her and see that, you know, God chose her. Okay, so God knew Mary's heart. He knew her level of maturity, okay, that there was maybe some young virgins older than her that weren't as mature as she maybe was. And he knew that she would be willing to serve, that she had a servant's heart. And God doesn't make mistakes, okay? Mary was God's first choice. You know, I really don't believe that, Gabriel had gone to visit, you know, 5, 8, 10 other young girls, and they all said no, and so, you know, Mary was, you know, down the list somewhere. But that's because there's two things that we observe about Mary. One is her faithfulness, and the second is her obedience. Okay, it's like, all right, I believe what you're telling me. You know, it really sounds kind of out there, but, you know, if it's God that wants me to do this, then that's what I need to do, because faithfulness and obedience go hand in hand. Mary could have said, I don't want to. Okay, sounds like a really neat plan, Gabriel, but I'm not interested. Okay, I don't want to do this. But instead, she said, let it be as you have said, I will serve the Lord. Now, I can relate to Mary a little bit, okay, because when I was asked to go into the ministry, my response was, I don't want to. I didn't feel worthy. You know, and Mary may have had those same feelings. You know, I mean, like, why would God want me to give birth to his son? You know, why would God choose me to mother the Savior of the world, the Messiah? You know, I mean, there's thousands of others out there that could do that. So, you know, why me? You know, as a pastor, you know, we ask people to serve in different roles. Many people say that they're too busy, or some people say, oh, I couldn't do that, you know, it just, you know, that's not my thing, or whatever. And some people just say, I don't want to. But Mary was sure that it was God who was calling her. And I guess anyone would be sure if Gabriel showed up that, you know, he was from God. So even though you may need a little convincing, just like Mary did, because she didn't right off the bat say, you know, okay, sure, whatever. So Luke doesn't tell us a lot about this exchange between Mary and Gabriel. You know, we don't know if she was at home when this happened, if she had been sleeping and, you know, Gabriel woke her up. We're assuming that she was probably by herself. We don't know that after Gabriel left, did she, you know, go out and tell her family, hey, you'll never guess what just happened. Or if she maybe ran out and found her BFF and said, like, you totally won't believe this, dude. You know, or Joseph, you know, did she maybe look up Joseph and say, you know, Joe, we need to talk, and this, it may be kind of hard to believe, but, now, we know that happened at some time, but we don't know just when. Or did she maybe go see the local rabbi and say, you know, I really need to talk to you. You know, this really strange thing happened to me, and I really need some questions answered here. You know, that's one of those things on your list of, you know, I want to ask Mary about this when I get to heaven. Well, this is a story that we've heard many, many times, but it doesn't get old. I mean, it doesn't change. It changes from Bible translation to Bible translation a little bit. We know that it's completely true, that's the way it went down. That's the way it happened. Yet at the same time, it's hard to believe, you know, because it doesn't make sense to you and I. Okay, because we hear how this happened, and we got to say, you know, I don't know. I mean, God can do anything. And if we're really believers, we would look at Isaiah 7:14, and in the King James it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So this had been prophesied hundreds of years before it happened. Now, if Mary knew this passage, she might think, duh, I know that. I know that's how it's supposed to happen. But me? You know, I don't understand why God chose me. You know, it says a virgin is going to conceive and all, but me? And that's something that we think of, you know, that we hear about. It happened to Betty down the street from you, or, you know, it happened to, you know, your cousin Louise or whatever. But, you know, those things don't happen to me. And I think sometimes we think that too, that when something good happens to us or when something bad happens to us, you know, we think, you know, why is this happening to me? You know, why am I so blessed to have this happen to me? Or, you know, what have I done that this happened to me? So let's move on a little further in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. Okay, and this is from the New Living Translation. It says, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Mary. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Okay, now remember, she's about 6 months pregnant at the time when this is happening. So it says, in a few days, Mary hurried to visit Elizabeth. Okay, we don't, again, know how close the relationship was with Mary and Elizabeth. We know that Elizabeth was quite a bit older. It tells us she was beyond the age of having children, so she was, you know, maybe in her 60s. And, you know, Mary's maybe 14 again. So, you know, there's quite a bit of age difference in the two of them. You know, it's not like they were, you know, both around the same age when this happened. So why did Mary make this hurried trip? Okay, we don't know. But, you know, every translation I look in says, you know, that now she went, or in a few days, or whatever it may be. So, I mean, was she checking up on Gabriel? Okay, it says a few days later, the message says, Mary didn't waste a minute. Okay. Now, if Mary had become pregnant in this time, this few days or whatever it was, I mean, she obviously didn't feel pregnant. She didn't look pregnant. But at the same time, when she came into Elizabeth's presence, Cousin John knew who was there. Okay? Now, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant with John, and Mary is maybe a few days pregnant with Jesus. And John knew who was there, and so did Elizabeth. Okay, because in verse 56, now moving on, it says that Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. So, you know, Mary gets there, Elizabeth's 6 months pregnant, and she's leaving at about the time that Elizabeth had the baby. So we don't really know why she left at the time that she left, I guess. So this is an old story. I don't know as I've given you anything new, but I wanted to do this because sometimes old stories have to be examined, not for flaws or discrepancies, but maybe just maybe to expose something that we've overlooked in its familiarity. That sometimes, you know, if we're doing a devotion and it tells us to read, let's say, Psalm 23, and you think, I have read the 23rd Psalm probably 1,000 times in, you know, 14 different Bible translations, and, you know, I don't need to read Psalm 23 again. But then we say, okay, I'll read it. And we read it, and boom, the light comes on. It's like, well, all those times I read it, I just don't remember understanding it this way. So that's why we read what we read. In Luke 1:38, we read, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. It sounds like Mary really has a handle on the situation. And maybe she did. But she had still had to have a million questions. You know, that after Gabriel left, she had to be thinking of, you know, the things that he had said. And, you know, just wondering, you know, how can I do this? You know, how can I be the mother of the Savior of the world? You know, I mean, how am I going to know, you know, do I bring him up like all of my friends bring up their babies? You know, what? You know, I don't know. I don't understand. So maybe Mary would have understood more fully if Gabriel had sung one of the greatest contemporary Christian songs to her. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? That child that you'll deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you will have kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you'll hold is the great I Am. Do you understand it all? Phew, I don't. Mary didn't either, I don't think. But she was ready to do what God needed her to do, what God had chosen her to do. Above anyone and everyone else, he chose this young 12, 14, 16-year-old girl to be the mother of the Messiah. As believers, we've heard that over and over and over again. And maybe there's parts of it that we kind of struggle with when we think, you know, well, you know, that sounds good and I believe, but, you know, help my unbelief at the same time. So let me lift you up in prayer. Father, help us to know that your word is true from cover to cover, and we don't have to understand it. You don't expect us to understand it. Lord, you know that we won't understand it. You just want us to accept it by faith and know that it is true. And Lord, what we think we understand, that maybe someday we'll find out that really we didn't after all, even though we thought we had understood that really quite well, that all the years we had believed a certain thing, we were wrong. But Lord, that's okay. Because we need to believe the big things. We need to believe the important parts of it and know without a doubt that they're true, that Jesus was born of that Virgin Mary. So Father, help us in this Christmas season to take the opportunity that we have to let people know the real reason for the season is Jesus Christ. Lord, let us do that in our cards, our letters, our greetings, to let people know that it's not Happy Holidays, it's Merry Christmas. And Lord, that we need to lift our Savior up. And Lord, I lift up anyone that's maybe listened to this, and maybe they've heard this Christmas story many, many times too, and they just think, you know, that's just can't happen that way. You know, a virgin can't have a baby, period. There's no way that that can happen. And Lord, give them the faith that they need to believe that it did happen, just like Luke tells us. And not only that, that Savior was born and he became the example that we need for our lives, and that he died on the cross for our sins because he was without sin. But he rose from the dead and he said, I'm coming back. Lord, it's my prayer that that's what anyone who does not believe at the moment will believe in the next moment. Because, Father, we give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.